and welcome to episode 5 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where small press comics make one hell of a big noise. I'm your host, Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mask from Mars and Stalkerville, and joining me again for this week's journey to the dark side of the moon that is indie comics are writer, artist, and creator of the ongoing superhero webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And the cat who won't cop out when there's danger all about, it's Tony Esmond.
Sorry? All right.
That's one of the better ones. I like the intro. That's a good
one. Thanks. Points to anyone who can guess what song that came from. Right, now, after a few weeks of being joined by a plethora of amazing comic talent, we are flying solo this week. That's right. It's just the original three amigos. Emphasis on the egos. But fear not, because as always, we've got plenty to talk about. And who knows, some of it might even be sensible. Imagine that. No. Now, before I get started, I just want to make a correction. In last week's show, when I was talking about Huge Hannah, Tony's favourite comic, I said that Ian Burns, the brilliant creator of it, was American. He is, in fact, Canadian. And I told him that I would correct it. So here I am correcting it. Thank you for getting in touch, Ian. And glad you liked the show. Anyway,
how cool is that?
I know. Somebody actually listened. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Let the chaos commence. How are we, chaps? And what have we been reading?
Yeah, I'm right. Danny, you all right?
Good, yeah. We do actually have a guest tonight.
Do we?
His name's Arthur. He's my cat, and he's sleeping over there. So cool. He probably won't bring too much into the podcast, but I'm sure he's going to keep an ear out on proceedings.
Is he named after Art Adams?
We've got two cats, Arthur and Merlin.
Oh, okay. Right.
Why'd you name him that?
I think my wife was a big fan of the Merlin TV series at the time when we got them, and the TV series is cut brutally short at the end.
Oh, you sound quite passionate about that, Dad.
Yeah, well, I was kind of a bit. We was enjoying it, kind of, you know, like this kind of Sunday and afternoon fave, and it went out on a Saturday night, and then they kind of said, "Oh, you're not getting another series. All the actors don't want to do it," so they kind of compressed years and years of storylines into 2 episodes.
Ideal.
That's it. Oh, okay.
Ideal. Tony's thinking, oh, I haven't got another couple of years of this. That's all right.
Yeah. I've never watched it.
No?
I watched Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles this afternoon. That was good.
What is it with the films that you watch, Tony? For God's sake, man. here's a franchise. I'll watch the most recent and god-awful one.
It is fucking awful, I have to say.
I've never watched that one through, is it? That's post after he's had plastic surgery.
Has he had plastic? No.
Yeah, I'm sure he has.
Okay.
Well, I'm not 100% sure. I'm sure someone would have told me up on that.
Covered himself in Cuprinol or something.
Yeah.
anyway, what have we been reading, gents? What have we been reading?
Shall I start?
Yeah, go for it, then.
Okay, Obsolete, I read, which is a book out of Nobrow Press by a guy called Mikael Sommer, who is a Dane. He was born after I started working, so that's good. So he's quite young.
How does that make you feel, Dan?
Fucking hell. it's a really, really impactful book. It's not humorous. It's got nothing lighthearted in any single panel of it, and it's got the biggest downer of any book I've ever read. But it's just one of the best things I've seen for a long time. It's it follows a sort of present day war vet who's struggling to cope with sort of PTSD and the guilt of what's happened, and sort of surrounded by, whether they're real or imaginary or, you know, ghosts. He sort of sits at a table. It starts with him sort of sitting at a table considering what he's going to do. And the first half of it has got no words in it. It's just a sort of series of images of his life and what he plans to do. And halfway through, him and another vet are sitting in a car together, and it really takes off from then. And I won't spoil it, but it takes a sort of hugely sort of violent turn that in turn takes like a twist that you never see coming. The art's... Wow. The art's a bit, but it reminds me of Jason Latour, if you know him.
He's
doing Southern Bastards at the moment.
Yeah. He also writes. He writes something for Marvel.
Spider Gwen?
I think he co-created her, that, I believe.
Yeah, and it's very similar to that. He did a Punisher book a couple of years ago, and the art in it is very similar. It's just beautiful, incredible. Many of the images are sort of just snapshots of this bloke's life as you go through. It's part of Nobrow's 17 times 23 range, which I think is about up to about 10 issues now. And it's, but it's so brutal. I can't stress. I mean, it's not for the young. It's probably an 18 book if it was like a movie. Okay. But it's really raw. And it, I have to say, one of the images in the book became my lock screen on my iPad for about a month, which is, shows how much I loved it. You know,
does that show how wrong and twisted it is as well?
And how wrong and twisted I am. Yeah, yeah. But I've reviewed nearly every one of their books that's come out for Down the Tubes, and this one. I couldn't do it. I couldn't review it. It was just sort of too emotionally impactful. It proper punches you in the guts. You know, it really does. I didn't review it because it's not. It's bad. I couldn't review it because it was so good.
Right. Okay.
It's hard finding the words to say how much you feel about it. But it's really, really interesting. I think it was £6.50 from the No Brow site. If they still got copies, I think they still have copies left. But yeah, I recommend it. I thoroughly recommend it. Really, really interesting.
It sounds like a sort of like Coen Brothers type sort of thriller, the way you just...
It is, yeah. It's like the Coen Brothers before they became too funny, you know?
Okay. Right, that sort of blood simple sort of era. Yeah,
yeah, exactly, yeah. But, I don't know, it's almost... It's got a little bit of combat shock or, you know, like... It's before movies had to be cool in some way, you know? It's You know, if it was set in New York and part of a sort of the video nasty batch, you know, you could feel almost that it's that. Yeah, you know, the New York slasher type sort of feel to it. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. Really, and they're every bit of work they put out. No Brow is worth a look. I have to say, I've loved all their stuff so far, and this is probably top of the pile for me.
That sounds really interesting. Mm. Definitely to check that out.
What about you, Dan? What have you been reading?
I popped up to Orbital today to pick up my Stand in Order, and I picked up one from our good friends at Madius Comics, 50 Signal.
Oh yeah,
Nick Gonzo. Yeah, it's really, really interesting, really, really charming. That's the quote on the front, charming, Derek Robertson. It's great. It's kind of like a... It's hard to describe it. It's not like they're very kind of simple illustrations, but it tells a story of a kind of a spaceman going out into space and kind of going exploring and finding stuff out. And I won't ruin the ending, but it's very kind of... Whoa, you don't see that coming. It's very kind of British and... off kilter. You should pick this up. It's great. I really enjoyed it.
I've heard a lot of good things about that book, actually.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's interesting. It's got a sort of weird... The ending is kind of 2001 for me. It's got that sort of strange sci-fi feel to it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the images are not kind of like super detailed, but it conjures up the atmosphere so well. It's good.
And it homages, there's moments he homages Heavy Metal magazine and, like I say, 2001. There's little bits in it you think, oh, okay.
Yeah.
See what you're trying to do there. Yeah, really, really interesting guy.
I mean, I definitely would look forward to seeing the second part of this because...
It's not one shot. It's like a first part of a bigger story.
No, it leaves you on a cliffhanger. Yeah, there's a death at the end. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love a cliffhanger. Anyone who's read my comics will know that.
But like on the cliffhanger that it leaves you on, you're like, what? You just no idea where it could go from
the end of that twist, isn't it? I think there is a number two in the works. I think so.
Yeah. I think Nick Gonzo's working on a book called Funk Soul Samurai at the moment. That'll come out first.
Okay.
And then I'd imagine there'd be another 50 Signal.
It does say 50 Signal book one. So
there you go.
In the back. So yeah, presumably we'll see book two before long.
It's a sort of slightly sort of cutesy looking spaceman, isn't it? That isn't real.
Yeah,
it's a strange one. It's very different, which is good, obviously.
Would you say it's like a perfect marriage of the art and the story he's telling?
I would say, yeah, definitely so. It's kind of, they work really well together. I think I remember Rob, one of the guys that started up Medius, he was on another podcast and he talked about how he saw this guy in Nick's sketchbook. And he kind of pestered him to go further with it, and lo and behold, 50 Signal. Yeah.
I love the name as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think always... he quotes me on the promo stuff, which is always nice of him, isn't it?
Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah. Get a bit of Paul Coates.
You'll get your name anywhere, won't you, Tony?
Oh, anywhere I'll do.
Backs of comics, toilet doors.
So, Vince, what about you?
I've been reading a webcomic. I'm moving house soon, actually, so I've boxed up all my books and stuff, so I've gone to the web, the wonderful World Wide Web, and I discovered a webcomic recently called The Lonely Vincent Bellingham, which immediately I was going to read because it's got the name Vincent in it, and I'm an egomaniac. Hey.
You found this Googling your own name, didn't you?
Yeah, I just thought, I typed in Lonely Vincent, and I thought, oh, it's a comic. And it was just like pictures of me everywhere. It was, The Lonely Vincent Bellingham, it's a webcomic by Diana Hugh. I'm going to say it's Hugh. It's spelled H-U-H. So, okay. Which sounds like, huh. But but I imagine it's pronounced Hugh. An American artist who's she's an animation storyboard artist working in LA, and that totally shows in the artwork. But back to the story, it's all about a guy named Vincent Bellingham who has been on a sabbatical, and while he's been doing it, he's promised his professor that he would visit an old friend of this professor's. And because of this, some people say Vincent's a nice fellow, but he's actually not. Because apparently he's run away from his family, home, and responsibilities. As you do, I think we can all relate to that. now, it sounds fairly straightforward, but then it dips into like sort of the mystery territory because when he finally finds this house, he goes to this town where this woman's supposed to live, and no one seems to know who she is, and he's got a really old, faded sort of like World War II picture of her, and he finds the house where she's supposed to live, and then she answers the door, but the only thing about it is she hasn't aged a day.
Okay,
so I'm not going to spoil anything for you because frankly I think everyone should check this out because it's an absolute gem, and it's
it's great. It's cover. I know you sent me the cover earlier. It looks great.
It's a glorious sort of it seems like quite the sort of subject matter that could be quite dark or sort of melancholy. But there's so much colour. It's set during the autumn, and the autumnal colours, it's just beautiful. And it's got this animation style that you can imagine on a storyboard for like one of the big Disney films or something. You know, when you look in those sort of making of books and you see all the storyboards, you're like, God, these people, they should make comics. Yeah. And it clearly is that. You know, Diana's got a fantastic style that is, because it's a webcomic as well, I mean, she does have it in chapters. It's just started chapter 2, so it's a good point to start because they are they're separated like issues, but she's got a real nice pacing of like drama and action. It's just it almost feels like a cartoon itself, you know. There's a real the pacing is really nice.
It's a real understanding of the kind of pacing and keeping things
and knowing when to say things and when to let the actions do the speaking. And also sometimes you'll get like these full pages where I think Vincent at one point he's wondering where this woman's house is, and then he turns around and he can see some smoke coming out of a chimney in the distance, and it's just a full page splash of that, but the colours on display, you know, you can see like trees everywhere, and he's a small character like on the page. It's just him, and it's just beautiful, beautiful stuff, you know. I mean, that immediately got me, you know, just the beauty of the artwork, and but it helped that the story was really good as well. There's some nice characters in there, there's a nice twist, and there's a mystery that, you know, you want to find out more about. It's a smaller cast because there's another couple of characters that crop up that are well worth investigating. And it takes a nice sort of quirky... It's not a dark story. I wouldn't say it away. It hasn't reached a really dark place yet. It hints that there could be. But, it's just a nice atmosphere, just fantastic stuff. You can find the webcomic at www.lonelyvincent.com.
Sitting amongst all those boxes of comics, you know,
just
what do they call it? Cranking. It's called cranking, isn't it?
Oh god! I wonder how long it would be before you derailed the entire show.
I've just been impressed that you both knew what that was.
Yeah, we're just going to leave it there, Tony. We're going to leave it there.
Yeah, I thought I'd Google Lonely Vincent. Look what came up, a comic. Perfect.
Photos of me everywhere. No.
It'd be interesting if you Googled your name and then a webcomic come up and you realised it was your life.
Oh, right. That I'm copyrighting that now. That's my copyright.
That sounds like quite a good story, actually.
Imagine if reader comments hated. They were talking about how much they hated the lead character.
And hoped he'd die. So you die. Will...
What?
What?
Yeah, I love this story, but you should totally kill off the main guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
How about he has a sex change, pardon?
And if they say, well, that's coming in the next couple of issues.
Oh my God, you'd worry, wouldn't you?
Kind of supernatural force. Once it was like you found out he was your friend observing your life and just, oh God, a nightmare. Nightmare.
It's like that, it was that Will Ferrell movie where he's brushing his teeth and his life starts being
Stranger Than Fiction, where his life, I love that film. That. Yeah,
little did you know, he'd die in 5 days. What? Pardon?
So back to the webcomic, Lonely Vincent Bellingham, worth checking out. And you can follow the artist on Twitter at DIHUH. Yeah. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, give her a support.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this week we gave a shout out to people and said get in touch because we want to talk about how to create buzz about your comics.
We
got a couple of replies, didn't we?
Yeah, we did get a couple of replies.
Got three people asking me about how Barney is.
Yeah.
And let the listeners know, Tony. How is Barney? Has it cleared up?
Yeah, much better.
Yeah. The burning has stopped.
Yeah.
A screen cap of like an abusive conversation that you had. Was that Barney related? I can remember laughing at it.
No, I got, what was the one I got that you remind me of Bill Bailey or something? I got one of those.
Yeah,
was that the one? Yeah.
Yeah.
And you told me you didn't know who he was.
No, I said I knew who he was. I knew about it, but I wasn't sure if him inferring that you looked like Bailey was it positive or negative.
Yeah, I'm not overly sure, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, well,
let
us know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Who do the other two presenters look like? Send in your emails.
Mm.
There you go.
Is there photographic evidence, Dan, online?
If I think there might be on my Twitter feed, you can find me.
You are opening up a can of worms, my friend. No,
but I don't think I got my media thing. Delete.
Oh dear.
Yes. Okay.
Anyway, after we gave the shout out, we had someone get in touch with us and give us a great email, actually. Chris Imber, artist with Reckless Hero Studios, and you can find him on Twitter at Reckless_Imber. He gave a very well thought out response, didn't he, lads?
Yeah, definitely.
Shall I just go ahead and read this lovely email?
Well, do you want to kind of read it through and we'll kind of chat about it?
You just interrupt me whenever the hell you want, but I know you.
I'll tell you what, should we blast through it and then come back? I don't mind. Okay.
Whatever's easiest. Yeah. I can't be quiet for more than a couple of minutes, so.
Yeah, right. God. Right, here we go. Right, Chris says, I think, like everything else, it's constantly endangered of becoming a saturated market. He's talking about a small press market. Not due to the same reasons as the big two, where they constantly hit the reset button, but due to the lack of quality control. That is not a positive nor negative comment, just an observation. I think it's amazing that there is more of an outlet for small press now. But to truly build your comic or make it stand out, it needs to find good ground on story concept art and also the innovative nature and personality of the creative team. Those who succeed seem to do this. We are seeing fresher takes on superheroes and exciting universes. But the trick is not to cut corners. Getting a good team on board is essential. Quality speaks for itself and gives a big hand when promoting. Being passionate about it helps. I've seen many creators, artists, writers sit back expecting people to be blown away by what they spent hours creating. Creating it is just the start. Like I said before, in a saturated market it's hard to stand out, but it can be done. Making a comic is to be applauded. It's hard work, but it takes more than that. Networking and promotion are vital. I've seen so many outstanding ideas in creator-owned books that look exciting and engaging, but there is always the other pile too. So after my ramble, building a buzz in Imber steps are, and this is a nice little list, this.
Mm. It's good now.
1. Actually make your comic. Don't just talk about it. 70% of folk seem to fall on this one.
Yeah.
2.
Yep.
Assemble a killer team. 3. Yep. Believe in it. If it's a passion, it will come through. 4. Get yourself out there. Social media, conventions, etc. Visit enough and you will become that familiar face. What number am I on? 5.
Oh, so tempted to wrong you up there. 4. 4 was talk and be engaging.
Yeah, talk and be engaging. This is your creation, and you should be excited about it. If you aren't, I won't be.
Yeah.
5, enjoy it. And 6, go back to number 1 before too long. Now, I think I've got the numbers wrong somewhere there, and I totally have the reading of that. But I don't
get a lovely reading voice, though. So, yeah.
We can always ask if we can plot the transcript up on the page or whatever.
Yeah, good idea.
I think that's a good idea. And what I'll probably do is in the audio, I'll put a nice, soft, sort of Sade sort of music behind them. Yeah. I think Chris has some brilliant points in that one. I know he sent us this sort of message just to sort of say, here's my thoughts. But they were so good that we just decided,
yeah,
we're going to let you have your moment, Chris, because it was well worth reading out in its entirety. So let's
go to the points then, Vince.
Let's go first. So number 1, actually make your comic and don't just talk about it. You've mentioned this before, Tony. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so this does my Swede in. As soon as people realise that I do reviews for a site, they go, oh, yeah, I've got a comic. Yeah, like, oh, yeah, this bloke meets this girl and they go to the moon and stuff. And I go, oh, yeah, that sounds really interesting. You know, and I have a lightning in a monologue, please, can I go? Because I'm bored of you. And then they go, and then they say, oh, yeah. I said, oh, how far have you got with it? You know, they say, oh, I haven't drawn any of it yet. Got it planned out in my head. And you think, oh, fucking, I've just wasted half an hour talking to you. You know what I mean?
Well, I get experiences of that even like one step before that. And you're like on forum boards and people say, I want to do a webcomic, but I don't have an idea. And it's kind of like,
do people really say that?
Yeah.
I just want to do it, but I don't have an idea.
I see it so many times. Like they can be an artist and stuff. And I can understand if you're an artist, then you're not kind of that way of a bent. Like there is comic book artists that are comic book artists.
I see what you mean.
They've got no illusions of writing.
And it's more a sense of they're looking for a collaborator to find something.
Well, no, but sometimes it can be that they want to do a story, but they have no idea about doing a story.
But surely people like that, if you hold a microphone up to their ear, all you can hear is a monkey banging cymbals together.
To be honest, you can kind of, this team, that, I mean, I'm pretty sure that comic book writers, they're a dime a dozen. They want an artist to work with, especially in small press.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to give all sorts of booty to get people to draw stuff for me.
Yeah, it's not always worth it.
Yes, it's kind of like if you're not at that point, if you're at a point before you come and see Tony and talk to him about your comic idea that you haven't actually drawn, I don't know what to suggest, really. No one can give you that idea, because if you're not enthused about the idea that you're going to be working on for X amount of hours.
And it brings up a Kickstarter issue again. Like, you know, when people talk about a Kickstarter, show us that you've actually got something to pledge towards, to pay for, rather than, you know,
if it's just concept sketches, it puts me off even, you know?
Yeah.
Well, with Merrick, Tom, he did the first issue, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's like, that's in the bank. If you kind of, you look and that's what you're going to get. And that's what people who did the Kickstarter got. And yeah, they're happy. Yeah. That's why there's more issues of it.
Yeah. And fantastic issues as well.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah, so he's bang on the money with number 1.
Assemble a killer team.
Yeah.
Sounds quite good.
I thought that probably ties into number 1 as well, really, doesn't it? You know.
Yeah, I mean, that's very relevant to anthologies and stuff like that as well, you know.
Yeah.
Have an idea who's going to be in it when you start it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, because otherwise, you know, if I suppose it all depends. If you're going to conventions and it's all your thing and you're going to be the only one there.
Yeah.
But if you're there with the artist and stuff, you've really got to be on the same page. You've got to be both equally passionate about it.
Yeah,
yeah. You know. You got to have a patter as well between the two of you, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've done anthologies before, and people have said, "Oh, do you want to put this in there?" It's only been in one other comic before, and I think, well, no, I don't. You know, I don't want to put your second hand. You know, I'd rather have something new off you as well. You know, sometimes you see the same strips a couple of times over in anthologies, and you think, "Well, I've seen that already." You know,
kind of bit of a swizz there.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure it's on point, but MCM Before Last, I was on a table drawing for a comic. I'll name it Reynard City. And one of the girls there that was helping out the table, she was kind of like a wannabe webcomic artist, and she wanted to draw the next issue. And I kind of basically laid the smack down saying that this is hard work. Drawing 21 pages of a webcomic in your spare time is hard work. Mm. And I kind of laid it on thick, because the chap who runs the comic does have of problems with artists saying, oh, I'll do it. And then they do two pages and kind of realize, holy fuck, this is a lot of work. Kind of go AWOL.
It always cuts the wheat from the chaff, doesn't it? Like, you know,
people, it does.
Yeah. I mean, everybody in the world probably wants to make a comic. But it does, especially if you're doing it small press, you've got a full-time job. You know, you are not working for the big two. And even if you're working for the big two, they struggle and they're doing it all the time. You know, you've got to be prepared to put the hours in.
On the webcomics, because Vanguard is primarily a webcomic, I put it on a Wednesday and a Friday, and very rarely will I miss a page because I want that consistency for the readers.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And there's times when I've had really hard weeks at work, and then I come home and it's like, holy fuck, I've just flattered this page. I've got to colour it, letter it, and like it should be up tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
So when there's times like that, you're like, oh god. But that's when it really kind of, you got to kick in and either do it or you don't, really.
I get that after every time I talk to you two and I've got to edit it. It's yeah.
And we're going, when's it up? Are you getting on?
Yeah. Oh, like, Jesus. Oh god, this could take me days. Yeah. But definitely you've got to have...
I think having edited a couple of like anthologies over the years as well, you say to people, and I'm always, you've got to be really careful in the way you approach people. Sometimes like enthusiasm at a moment's time can be sort of quite, you know, you can catch on. And if you're like really enthusiastic, they almost leech off that a bit and are enthusiastic. And then they walk away and like a week later they think, oh, I can't be bothered. You know, and you can't chase people too much because it's often for free and it's often in their spare time and stuff like that. How many times do you chase them, you know? And if you've got a friend who says they want to do something and then they don't do something and you've asked them a couple of times, so they're kind of, they try and avoid, you know, it's almost like they avoid returning your emails or, you know, stuff like that. It's quite a difficult thing to do in the small press world compared to the professional world, you know, because it's done, a lot of it is done on goodwill.
Yeah.
You know?
That's if you kind of keep those relationships. Well, if you're kind of getting people in that you don't know as a friend, it'd be easier to kind of deal with as opposed to, I'm not saying don't have friends to work with, but obviously there's that line.
Yeah, it's almost like that. You know, I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, there's with the World Wide Web opening up and people in other countries, you can, you know, work with them and almost not knowing them, but, you know, follow, you know, chasing them up. And it's like Christian and his colorist in Brazil, you know, and stuff like that. Yeah. Almost makes it easier. You know, then it's a friend who's coloring it and they ain't done it yet. And it's all, you know, there's fallouts and, you know, all this sort of thing that happens, you know, over the years.
There's people I've worked with on collabs and they say, like, are you, you'll be paid for this. It won't be a lot, but it'll be paid work. And he wanted to treat it like it's a professional thing. Because if you say you're doing something for free and we're mates, it's kind of, that goes to the bottom of the pile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not saying that everyone's work ethic is like that, but...
It's all about, it can be about honouring deadlines as well. You know, if you set a deadline, you know, I know for me, like Sean, my colourist, you know, he always meets the deadline. You know, if I let him know, oh, I want to get it to print by this time, he'll get all the artwork to me well in time. And it's the same, like, I letter his comics, so he feeds me the same information. Just let me know when you want it, and I'm going to do what I can to get it there. You know, so, and we're always in communication, but, yeah, I think deadlines can be quite important with that kind of stuff. If you let someone know it has to go here.
I mean, I've worked in design and print for 10-odd years, so the deadline thing is just absolutely hammered into me.
Yeah.
The idea of missing a deadline, it's just, that's not happening.
Yeah.
So when I do miss a page, I'm like, oh, fuck's sake. And then my wife reminds me, remember, you're doing it for free. No one's paying you. So, still. still breaks.
It's personal pride. Then it comes down to personal pride, doesn't it, really? You know, you want to...
I suppose it ties into the, you know, creating a buzz, which is where we're going with this is, you know, if you haven't got it ready and you've got, you know, a launch party organized at Orbital or Gosh or something like that, you know, Traveling Man, and it's not ready, or, you know, you've promised it by this date or that date, then that really does affect your buzz. You know, it affects, I know, I was looking at a Kickstarter today that's almost over 3 years late. And the enthusiasm that the customers will have for that, it has gone.
There's zero buzz.
It's turned
buzz,
into
yeah.
being pissed off about it, you know?
Yeah.
You've got into negative buzz.
It does. It really does.
Resentment. Yes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, once you've got your first comic done, it can really add to the, you know, the fuel to the fire. You know?
Yeah.
Because before, like, I actually sort of came onto the scene and I was just sort of chummy with all these artists, you know, oh, you know, how do you do this? How do you do that? You know, I was working on, like, the origin issue of the Red Mask. But essentially, at that point, no one in the world knew about it. No one cared about it. You know, it just, and like I didn't want to constantly sort of say, oh, this is going to, you know, this is coming out, because if I couldn't deliver on it, then they would have been like, just shut up, mate. Do you know what I mean?
It's a black mark on your name already.
So once I got that out and it was free, then it was, it was all about, right, let's move on to the first issue sort of thing. And, but because I had done the first one, I had that real enthusiasm. Yeah. Let's push this forward. Let's keep going. You know?
Yeah. But that's it. That's the passion for it. You know, walking around, you know, comic conventions and stuff, and, you know, you walk up to a table and we've all walked past a table and like said, oh, no, thank you, as they've held their comic out and tried to push it in your hands. Yeah. And there's a fine line between that, but walking up to a table and them just looking down and like looking around and staring at their fingernails or something, you know.
I'm not someone who really appreciates a hard sell when I'm walking around.
No. Yeah, but there is to me, I don't either completely, but I think there's a middle ground. I don't even go too far either way. But if I walk up and said, oh, you know, what are you up to? What's this? And they tell you and they're enthusiastic, I'm going to buy it off you, I tell you now.
Yeah.
If it's half good, it's going to come home with me, you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes you go up to these tables and the people just can't be bothered. It's almost like embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
I've had both of those kind of opposite ends of the spectrum, one where they're kind of overly enthusiastic, kind of pushing on you, like, no.
Yeah.
The shield just comes up after working for London for like ever long. As soon as someone approaches you with that hard sell, it's like, no.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Don't want that.
It's us hard nuts in London. Yeah, no, don't talk about that.
If someone you walk up to the table and they're not interested, it's kind of like, well, if you're not interested in me, I've got very little time for your product.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, when I walk up to a table and I'm generally interested in this book, you know, and I'll ask the creator about it. And as soon as you ask, like, what's this book about? Like, I remember the first time I met John Locke, who did Afterlife Inc. You know, I said, oh, I've seen this book about, you know, what's it about? He switched on like a light bulb, and then just, you know, all the ideas and everything just came pouring out. I was like,
that's brilliant.
You know, within like 30 seconds, I'd already bought his book, you know, but I just wanted to hear more about like what he was all about. Yeah.
Tony, you've been to a lot more conventions than me. What's your thing of when people are drawing at tables and you approach them? And they're sitting there drawing. Is that good for you, or you kind of?
I just sort of stand there and wait for the person to react to me if they're drawing. I don't want to go, I'll stop drawing, you know, or what's this? So, I'll say, oh, hiya. You know, and if they look up and start talking to me while they're drawing, that's nice. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because I didn't want to get, like, you're sitting there on the table deep involved in the drawing and people are coming up and, like, there's a bit of awkwardness there or whatever. I don't know. Yeah. Perhaps you shouldn't be drawing and just kind of, you're focused on interacting with the people coming up.
I have to say, in the years gone by, like, sorry, Vince, but certainly in the 90s, the awkwardness of small press creators was like a lot more than it is now. Mm. People are definitely much more outgoing now. You know, a lot of people would make their comic. They'd sit at their table, you know, possibly smelling a little bit of BO and not speak to anyone. And then you'd walk away. But these days, people almost have an image at their tables, you know. They have a front to everything. Yeah. I know what I'm getting if I walk up to a Red Mars table. I know what I'm getting if I walk up to the Merrick table in Avery Hill. You know, all these sort of Dirty Rocking comics. All these guys, they've got a certain vibe about them, and they know, and they're professional. And a lot of them will even put a shirt and tie on and stuff these days. You know, like be professional with a t-shirt with their comic on it. And I think that really speaks, you know, volumes to me. And it's not expensive to do.
No,
you know?
Yeah. Rather than just sling anything held on and just kind of sit there half-assed.
Yeah. I walked up to a table.
Oh, you've seen me at a convention then, have you, Dan?
Yeah. Blowing off. Blowing off is good sometimes.
Yeah. Everyone loves the smell of their own brand.
Never heard that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, I'm using that. Yeah. I went up to a table at London Super Comic Con a couple of years ago and picked up one of the books. And the guy literally went, don't pick that fucking book up. Pick the one that's on the stand up.
So, see ya.
Really?
Yeah. So I went, so I just dropped the book on the table and went, oh, you mean this one? And walked off. And I thought, God's sake, who are these people? You know. Very strange.
You can't be too precious about your the stuff that's on your table.
Put it on the table. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
Well, just buy some poly bags. Bag it up. And then have a reading copy out there that says reading copy on it. And then, you know, there's if someone picks up the poly bag and starts opening it, you go, whoa, hold on. It's kind of pretty obvious.
I slab all mine. Everything's slab. Yeah.
What was point two on the list?
Point two was assemble a killer team, which we covered, and point three was believe in it, it's a passion, which we've kind of just covered then as well. The next point.
Oh, he's done you because there's 1, 2, 2, 3. Now I see why you're confused.
It's not him either. I think it's me. Okay. Yeah, Chris, it's not you, it's me.
Yeah, we're splitting up.
I swear, it doesn't normally happen to me. This is the first time it's ever happened to me.
That's a much practice line there.
How would you know? You never return my calls.
Not in your comic room.
The next point is get yourself out there. Clean your mind, Tony. Social media cons, etc. Visit enough and you become that familiar face, which I think... I've heard this from a few people, actually.
Yeah.
Just going to... Having a table, like, a couple of years in a row at conventions. You know, when people will see you for the first year, they might not necessarily pick up your book if you've only got one book, but if you're there the next year and you've got two books, people might, you know, even if it's subconsciously, think this guy's actually serious about this, you know.
Yeah.
Let's check his stuff out. I've yet to reap the rewards of that, you know, because I'm just getting to the point. It is literally getting to the point where this is the second time people are going to see me at these shows. Like Melksham, Nottingham, you know, Thought Bubbles, you know, those three shows are going to be the... It's the first time I'm there for the second time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And I think these days as well, you've got to be a familiar face at conventions to get a flipping table sometime.
Yeah.
You've almost got to be a return customer to be able to get the space, because it's such a competition to find space at a table now these days. I know Thought Bubbles like a lottery, as I understand it now. You know, some people are lucky to even get a table there, you know?
Yeah.
From the tweets you read, it does seem that way. They're like, wow, I've got a table, and kind of like... Lottery.
I saw Heart of Time, your friend Vince.
Sarah Millman,
She put a tweet out today saying, look, I know you get a lot of this. I think it was at the MCM Comic Village Twitter account saying, I know you get a lot of this, but when are you announcing for the tables? Yeah.
They do go so quickly. MCM, no disrespect to them or anyone who's listening, but every time I've tried to get a table there, it's been an absolute shambles. It's this.
Right.
They have like a forum which you can register at, they announce it on Twitter, and then. This seems a real mishmash of kind of people of who's dealing with it. You try and get hold of the person organising the Comic Village, and they only answer their phone at a certain time on a certain day.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, oh God, come on. Because obviously you need to kind of have so much in place.
Yeah.
Obviously time off from work, get your prints done, get all the print stuff.
A lot of these cons are Fridays now as well, aren't they? So you've got to get to London or Leeds, where it's going to be, to get, you know, get the day off work, and normally get the Monday off afterwards sometimes as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I know, for instance, I was... Because we talked about MCM on a previous show, didn't we? And I missed out on the last London show. And I was thinking, well, there's going to be one in October. You know, I've heard rumblings that there's going to be one later in the year. And I've just found out today that it's the same weekend as Nottingham.
It is. Yeah, are you talking about the Manchester one?
Oh, I thought it was London, is it?
No, I think Manchester's the same weekend as
Have they not announced the London dates yet?
Oh, maybe I know, because the guy from Nottingham, good guy, emailed me saying, I think it's the same weekend as the Manchester show. Maybe it's the London one then. Oh, maybe he got it wrong. You might be right, dude. I'm not 100% on that. Yeah.
I'm never 100% sure that I've got anything right. As listeners of this show, we'll know.
I said one thing you picked up about creating the buzz here, coming from last week's with porcelain, that ashcan idea.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Yes.
Free. And then it was saying like the majority of the people come in off of seeing that, and from one thing I know about conventions, people love the free shit. They're just they're hooping that stuff up. So like if you got stuff like that,
I had when I first started with the Red Mask and stuff, I had these flyers that sort of said, you know, download the Origin issue for free, because you can get it for free from the website. And like I was sort of selling the book, if you know what I mean, trying to give them the sort of pitch. And I said, oh, well, you can download the Origin issue for free. And they pick up a flyer and then piss off. And I was thinking, oh, I kind of shot myself in the foot. I mean, you know, it's a learn. You know, you learn from every show you do, I find.
Yeah.
But now I'm kind of, I want people to know about this. But I'm, you know, I don't want to.
Yeah, because I guess that's a bit of end.
Sorry, good.
I said that's a bit of an end of conversation, isn't it? It's kind of like, oh. Download it for you. See you later.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, for me, if you're at a convention as well, put one of those little maps up with an arrow as to where you are.
Yeah.
That's quite useful, especially if I'm... So sometimes before I go to conventions, I'll go, oh, he's got something dropping and wants it in on the site, you know? Mm. And they'll say, oh, mine's dropping. I'm at lane C, table 3 or something, you know?
Yeah.
And then having a little map, or actually having it on your Twitter profile. A lot of the pros are doing that now, aren't they? San Diego, New York, and all these sort of places. They're actually having their table number on there, which I think is a really good idea.
Definitely.
You know, especially if you're wandering around the convention, pull your phone out, look at Twitter. Oh, there he is.
Yeah.
You know, it's good.
And I know in Thought Bubble, certainly around Thought Bubble time last year, everyone was posting the little maps because Thought Bubble sends out the little maps of where you are, which is quite cool. And everyone sort of personalizes them with their, you know, where they are with the big arrow pointing to the
little characters and stuff like that on them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah. So be on the lookout for that, people, when it gets the Thought Bubble. If you want to know where your favorite creator is, keep checking their Twitter because they will tell you.
Yeah, you know? They will. Yeah.
Because the MCM Comic Village, that's just like last time I was there, it's like a maelstrom. It's kind of so many people.
And you can walk past people and miss them because people aren't always at their table as well. So you're looking for something and he's not there, you know.
And like there's every table's got so much visual imagery and good stuff going on, you're kind of whoa.
Yeah, so it's a mess for the eye almost. I know what you mean. Yeah.
It's a lot of input.
Speaking of creating a buzz, and talking about reviews and the previews and stuff, we get quite a lot of previews sent through to the site to John Freeman at Down the Tubes. And one of the things I think is a good idea, if you're going to send a comic in to get it previewed, don't just send the comic. We get a lot of people just, you know, you literally say, oh, here's a review copy for the site. It'll be a Dropbox link or something, you know.
Yeah. Mm. Did John post up a link, an article on there?
He did, yeah. Really good article.
That was great.
Yeah, really useful. But it's stuff like include a couple of paragraphs what it's about. You know, a couple of sentences is an elevator pitch. You know, a paragraph about what the comic's about, what you want people to read. And sometimes I'll pretty much transpose that paragraph, you know, if I like it, onto the site, you know, onto the header of it, you know.
Yeah.
And then some high-res images of images you like that you want to include in the preview. And then also what is really useful is some details of the creators and their social media links, because that's something I always careful to put in reviews is your Twitter, your Facebook, your Blogspot, you know, your Tumblr and that sort of thing. And to have that, it's like a little, and people who review, you know, read the review or the preview will think, oh, I'm not sure if I like it or not. I'll click on that and they can see what else they've done.
Yeah.
You know, and also put in it whether you want, I know 2000 AD do this. They say first five pages, you can on the preview, you can put the first five pages of the comic up.
Okay.
And that's a really good idea. Limit and tell them what they can and can't put up. It stops any argument later where people go, oh, you put a spoiler up.
Yeah.
You know, tell them what you think they can and can't do around it, you know.
Yeah.
I guess with Down the Tubes, if 10 people are submitting their comics and one of them hasn't bothered to do that, they're at the bottom of the pile straight away. And it could be the best comic ever made ever.
Yeah.
But if you've not kind of followed the kind of the guidelines and made it difficult for people, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot.
Essentially, what you're creating a press release. If you were with a publisher, it doesn't matter whether they're a small press publisher or big two, when they send their stuff out, there's a press release, there's all of that stuff that Tony just mentioned. Mm. So that, you know, so you know all about it before you even get to the book, you know. And that's the whole thing. If they're being professional about it, then just because we're self-published, we should be professional too. You know, if you really want people to look at your book, then you should have more than enough to say about it.
A bit of thought about it is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, sort of, it's easy just sort of to, you know, impulse, or send it down the tube, send them a link, you know, or I'll send it to whoever, you know, whatever review site. And there's a lot of great ones out there, Broken Frontier and all these guys.
Yeah.
You know, rather than just sending it out, you know, just think about what you're doing. Mm. Think about what you want to say. Because I'll read some comics and I'll miss something and I'll think, I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand what that means, you know, and stuff like that. And yet, if I look at it, and I be communicative as well, if a lot of stuff I'll, like when I did the one for Dobes recently, I did Descending Outlands. So I sent him a couple of messages and said, you know, what about this? What do you think about this? You know, what does this mean? You know, send me your idea or your influences, you know. And it's really nice because he sent me his influences back and I'd pretty much written the preview by that time. And they're almost word for word what I'd written. And that, when you read that, you think, right, well, I have got the right idea of what this book's about. What I'm putting out in the preview does mirror what he is trying to say with it or she is trying to say with it, you know, and that's really useful as well, you know.
Well, one of the things with small press webcomic stuff I found out is you have to be a master of all trades. I mean, not only you're kind of writing and producing your book, you've now got to become the salesman, the kind of
very much so,
do the promo stuff for it, and there's a lot of stuff. I mean, when you're running your website as well, you're installing analytics, buying ad space, and
and you look at, I mean, I know we've started looking at it a little bit too obsessively,
yeah,
on this, you know, but yeah, you look at where your market is, you know, look at what who's reading it, you know.
Yeah.
Also, like all you small press creators out there, you've got to face the cold hard facts. It's blood, sweat and tears going into this creation of this book, and that's brilliant, we've all done it. But when your book's finished, that's about 40% of the job, because the rest of it, you have to promote it, you have to email people, you've got to do these press releases, you've got to get in touch with people like Tony, and then suddenly realise what a mistake it was that you got in touch with people like Tony.
Yeah, give me your phone number and your email address.
Yeah.
You make these comments to be read. To be read, enjoyed, it's an experience. So kind of creating it in a void. I don't know who would want to do that. You'd want to get people to read it and have a kind of connection with people.
The thing is, you've got to leave, it's almost like you're baring your chest to people as well. I mean, I'm not known for giving bad review. Well, known. I try not to give bad reviews. You know, if I really don't like something, I'll probably just say it's not for me. You know, but people will give you bad reviews if they don't like it. And it's a subjective medium, you know.
I've had bad reviews.
You've got to be prepared to take it, have you?
Yeah, and it's like, okay, it's fine. I kind of, you just got to take it in the chin. I always try and take from it, like, what you can constructively. Yeah, I've not had a review that's never been just hate, but there's always been constructive crits there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so, yeah, that's fine. I agree with that. That's totally on the level.
And I certainly had that with issue one of the Red Mask, you know. There was one scene that's a little, you know, it's a bit more wordier, and some people, you know, more than one person picked that up in a review. So rather than thinking, well, you know nothing, that's what, you know, that's what it's supposed to be, I thought, well, I've looked at it, thought, yeah, I can see what you mean. In the biggest scale of the story, it still works.
Yeah.
But I'm bearing it in mind for the things I'm moving forward, you know, because anything that can make what I do better, you know, as long as people aren't being shitty about it as well, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think we're almost, I mean, I know the people who, you know, the snarky internet shits, that I avoid them, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not naming any websites, but I'm not interested in that world of stuff. You know, like, I forget the name of the lady you work with, Dan, who did a webcomic that I previewed recently.
Bajo Mano.
Badger Manor, yeah. Well, I mean, I loved that comic. I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah.
Slight niggle for me was the lettering, but that's something you can learn. If you don't, you know, and she was quite pleased that, you know, she puts it out there for an opinion by someone. You don't put it out there just so someone can give you a cuddle. Yeah.
Well, she honestly tweeted about the fact, kind of being a bit kind of, should I do this? And I was like, look, do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, when it popped up on Down the Tubes, I was like, oh, brilliant. It's great. Yeah. And I read a review, and it's
genuinely a really good comic. And just the lettering was a tiny, tiny part of it. But if it's something, you know, I'm not saying I don't know everything by a long stretch, but if I can, you know, if I notice the lettering a bit, then, you know, have a little tweak of it and it will be a much better product, you know.
Yeah.
You'll learn a lot more, as I said, you learn more in defeat than you ever will by winning. I mean, it's great that people can gush about what you're doing, but if you're kind of getting knockbacks and saying that X, Y, and Z could use improving, well, you either improve that or you don't, really.
I know, talking about Bendis again, we talked about Bendis last week, but Brian Bendis a couple of years ago on Word Balloon said he, you know, he wishes there was more long form review. And I agree. And I try never to write a review that's sort of less than 500-600, you know, words. So I think the internet is full of comics websites that give something a review in four sentences.
Yeah.
And the effort and, you know, the time that goes into those pages, it deserves more than that, you know.
It's a bit disrespectful.
Yeah, if you want to talk about the cover, you can write in four sentences, you know.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about the writing, it's at least four sentences, in my opinion, you know.
Yeah. Well, so I think that's quite interesting as well, that it brings up the importance of reviewers reviewing small press stuff.
Yeah.
Because when they're reviewing a Big Two book, you know, it's cool that we read these reviews and we enjoy them and we get the idea of what the Big Two book is, but how much influence is that going to have on the people creating it? Whereas a small press person, as soon as they see their book's being reviewed, you know, oh, they'll immediately be on the site. You know, what's it like?
Yeah.
You know, reviewers can also help with their constructive criticism or their, you know, praise or et cetera, et cetera.
There was in the effort of kind of sending stuff out, I sent all the Vanguard out to a great site called A Place to Hang Your Cape, and it does a lot of that.
They've reviewed me,
And they're really liking Vanguard, but when it gets to issue 8 and 9, it all goes kind of a bit apocalyptic and a lot of the characters end up dying, and they didn't like it because of but it's kind of part of the story that
is it done well happened. That's not, you know, I hate it when certain characters die in TV series or novels or books or comics or anything, but is it done well? That's the reason for me.
I think, you know, from what I was getting was the reviewer kind of maybe I'm putting words in their mouth, got invested in the story. And then when I've taken out all these characters, they weren't happy about it. And I've had readers saying they weren't happy about it, but That's the story.
That's good. You know, yeah. just that fact.
Yeah, I can tell you, Dan, that, you know, I've read Vanguard like week on, and those few weeks or that couple of months, you were punching me in the gut every week, but in a beautiful, beautiful way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's harsh, but I can totally see that was, you know, it was the intended point. It wasn't shock for shock's value.
I can understand it would upset people. Some people get upset because they've invested stuff in characters that have been killed off. But
and it totally makes what you're doing with the story now moving forward even more interesting, because I'm thinking, right, well, how does all this marry up? And, you know.
But on the flip side, if someone starts saying, oh, you draw hands badly, oh, okay, that's constructive criticism. I can take it on board.
Just draw yourself flipping a bird and then just tweet it to them.
Yeah. the other thing it gives me the irk is an overuse of social media.
Yes.
We talked a couple of times about this off mic.
Yes.
And there's a couple of people who are just incredibly like overzealous.
Naming no names.
Yeah. But the I did a reviewed a zombie book. This won't give it away because I review a zombie book every week. But I reviewed a zombie book and I think I must have got 12 messages in a day pop up on my phone on Facebook because I've got that app on there, you know.
Yeah.
I think, really? You know. And that was about 6 months ago, and the second issue ain't anywhere near coming out. Do you know what I mean? I haven't seen it. You know. And you think, all right, enthusiasm is one thing, but, you know, that's going to put me off. He's shoving it up my nose like that is going to put me off it, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah. I said about that thing of every tweet has a 15-minute life, but I do not want to fucking tweet every 15 minutes.
No.
Yeah, so yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I mean, I quite happily see if it says someone updating their page or they're showing me work in progress on their cover. But if it's just the same kind of check this out, this is great, or I just...
Yeah.
If you think about it like this, we're doing a similar thing with this podcast. You know, I mean, because this is a small press project that we want everyone to know about, you know, and we truly appreciate all these retweets and like,
big time. Yeah,
massive. Because we want people to, you know, the more people that listen to this, the more people checking out all these books that, you know, they've never heard of before, which is brilliant. But I'm still conscious that I don't want to be tweeting about the show every 5 minutes, you know.
I get to a point and I think, right, okay, that's enough. Check yourself before you wreck yourself, blah, and all that, you know. And I think, right, I've done that enough. But I'll leave it a day now.
Also, because they're getting times three, aren't they?
Yeah.
And
not everyone follows all the same people, but
yeah. And if people don't follow that many people, then they'll see your message from the morning anyway, like in the evening. Do you know what I mean? It's a difficult one.
And it's that we're two steps apart from that as well, aren't we? Because we are a site that reviews and promotes other people's product.
Yeah.
So we're almost promoting other people's products.
Yeah.
You know, we're promoting the crack that Chris Govloving was on, that Mark was on, you know, and this sort of thing, at the very least, you know?
Yeah.
Also, don't get pissed off when people don't promote you. I think that's one of the things I've noticed as well is, you know, you promote or you help out on a project, you know, and then you think, oh, a little bit of reciprocation would be nice, and then you don't get anything back.
Mm.
You know, you think, that's a bit cheeky, you know, but don't get pissed off about that, because some people are, as much as we think we're a community, some people are slightly self-obsessed and, you know, you won't always get that back off them. You know,
never put down to malice what can easily be written off for forgetfulness or stupidity. I mean, sometimes
busyness, or you know,
you're doing this as a part-time job, part-time thing, and you've got kind of so many balls up in the air. There's only things slip through the net.
But like you say, the opposite of it is the people who do take that time to say thanks a lot.
Yeah,
you know, really enjoyed it, or you know, thanks a lot for that review, or here's a free copy, or you know, and stuff like that. That's what the one thing that I really enjoy is when people say about reviews, you really understood it, and that's the best thing. Or the second thing I really enjoy is when people say, you know, why not send it to Down the Tubes? They're good guys, you know, stuff like that. You know, I think and that little bit of promotion really does help.
So, yeah,
you know,
I mean, it's probably the same with you, Vince. If someone says a good word about the comic, it's great. It's brilliant.
It makes my day. It, you know, even the smallest, you know, I really liked it. It just means the world to me. I know that sounds really sort of soppy, but
because I can look
I've got feelings too.
I look at the site views and people, the readers on the analytics, and there's people reading this stuff and they're not commenting. They're not saying anything. And it's like sometimes you say, just leave a comment to say that you've been here and you enjoyed it, you liked it, or you didn't. Just it's just kind of like consuming it and then moving on like locusts.
Yeah.
but it's an interesting
world, isn't it, around it. It's one of those weird worlds where I suppose music can be a little bit like it, and some filmmaking's like it, where it is a free, you are doing it for free.
Yeah.
You know, we're providing a lot of pleasure for people, especially you guys, you know, especially you, Dan, with your webcomic, you know. You know, so you're giving these people a bit of time out of their day, you know, to read it, and it's free, and you know, like a little bit of thanks occasionally.
It's the same with you, like you're taking something on board, reviewing it for someone else, and then putting it back out there. That's like just as much. Do you know what I mean? It's
slightly less talented, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
The Zelig of comics.
Hey, Alfie Gallagher gets mentioned every episode.
fellas.
I said to him the other day, he said, I said, you should come on, Alfie. And he went, no, no way. And I went, so, yeah, I'll just send him back. We'll see with a smiley face attached to it. So his time's coming.
Point four is talk and be engaging. This is your creation and you should be excited about it. If you aren't, I won't be. Now, you kind of mentioned that a little bit, Tony.
Definitely. Yeah. If I walk up to the table, like, and a lot of people, I think I said this, is it Mike Garley? I think I said it to somebody anyway. I said, mate, I've been standing at the table. I've heard you say that three times. And every time you say it with the same enthusiasm, you know, and it's almost, you're a bit like a barker at a carnival, aren't you? You know, you've got to almost have that about you.
Yeah.
You know, stand up and like smile and have a laugh and be engaging. And yeah, it is tiring. It really is tiring to stand on the other side of these tables.
Oh, yeah. At the end of the day after a con, it's just shattering, especially like if you're driving home. You're shattered by the time you finish.
Like I say, the Monday elf sometimes has got to be done because it's exhausting.
Yeah. I mean, on a side note, what is your view to people with sitting down or standing up behind the table?
Stand up.
Yeah?
Stand up, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah. You're on the same level as a person and, you know, I mean, unless you're drawing, I think, maybe. Yeah.
When I first started, I was sitting down at my table a lot and I sort of switched to standing up purely because there were some, you know, when a convention's quite busy, people are leaning over the table to try and hear me. Because especially with my first conventions, I wasn't so confident with the banter, as it were. Mm. You know, didn't have the pitch down, so I was like, and then people have to sort of lean over. I thought, they can hear me clearly when I'm stood up. So, but the problem is, because I'm stood up, I need to stand to the side of my banner, otherwise I won't be able to read the logo.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be careful about your placement as well, where you are.
I'm thinking maybe like I might next time. Well, we're looking to hopefully do London Super Comic Con, but might write the elevator pitch on a kind of a triangle of cardboard and have that standing up on the table. So if anyone kind of just glanced over, they could say, oh, okay, it sounds like my cup of tea.
And that banner thing's interesting. Change your banner every so often. Don't have the same banner at every convention, I think, as well.
I think fairly soon I'm going to be changing mine up, actually.
Yeah.
Although at the moment there's a lot of people who, you know, still haven't seen me before, so it'll still be new to them. But one, because it's just good to have a change up. But also I've got a message on the top that says, like, you know, the UK's newest hero has arrived sort of thing, which is cool. When I started, but I remember like Dan Harris, one of the Loose Cannon boys, came up to me in Cheltenham and just sort of said, that says new, doesn't it? He's not so new now, is he?
Yeah.
Thankfully I said, well, he's new to a lot of people, but that stuck in my head thinking I need to change my banner.
I was trying to think about that, kind of having a banner with kind of empty cells or spaces on it that you could print stuff out on like a high quality paper and then put it on there. I'm not sure if that would work. Could constantly revolve the images without it.
Yeah. I was talking to Mark about it, Mark Lamming, on Saturday, saying, what are you going to have on your banner at New York this year? Because I've got a countdown on my phone to New York. I'm so excited. I was saying, you've got to put the Hulk stuff. You've got to put Cap, you know, Conan Cap on there and all this sort of thing. And he's going, oh yeah, I'm thinking about it, you know, because even though his banner's only like a year or so old, it's got all the characters from Dynamite prior to his Marvel work on there.
You want the Marvel stuff, you want that Hulk, the Hulk's
had been such a splash, you know, it's done so well for him that, you know, you want that Hulk on there, don't you? You know,
yeah.
And like if you've got a page on your website, your webcomic that's read, like, you know, it's had a load of hits, you've got to consider putting that character on there.
Yeah,
you know,
big time.
So that brings us into the previous point. Like, you know, if you go to a lot of these cons and make sure you're there as much as you can be, but at the same time, if you go be there year on year, you've got to freshen things up. You've got to, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because if it looks new to some people that haven't seen you before, they'll be like, oh, well, they got something new.
Yeah.
You know.
I guess maybe also people might write it off if they see the same banner and stuff. And they're like, oh, he's got nothing new there.
Yeah, they definitely will do. Yeah, yeah. I know there's little quirky things people have on their tables. You know, think about not just having the comic on there. I love picking up a postcard or a bookmark. You know, I was speaking to Elizabeth Querstrit at a convention last year at MCM, and she'd made like little paper eggs that you opened up and they had a message in them and stuff like that, you know.
Cool.
And, you know, or Andy Poyaji's done a book about drinking tea, you know, about a conversation over a cup of tea. And he had little tea bags, you know, and stuff like that, you know, little tiny folded comics and tea bags and stuff like that. You know, it's called teapot therapy. And, you know, and have something nice. That's applicable, you know, really interesting little quirky things. And, you know, kids will be drawn, you know, teenagers, 20-somethings will be drawn to tables that have got that sort of interesting little thing on it, you know.
And then once you draw them in, then, you know, you should be passionate about your creation. Just go off on one about it, you know.
Yeah. And I bought T-shirts. I'm wearing a T-shirt I bought at a convention right at this moment in time. You know, sort of, you know, they're cool little things to have, you know. I think Mike Garley's got mugs on his tables, you know. And these things can be done easily now, can't they, with, you know, internet and Moo and Vistaprint.
Oh, yeah. Awesome Merchandise is, I know. Yeah. That's not our company, people. There's actually a place called Awesome Merchandise. And,
I heard that.
Yeah. They did my banner and they've done A3 posters and they do all kinds of stuff. Like, you can get, like, you know, sew-on patches. You can get, like, bottle openers. Cool. You can get everything.
Right.
And I think you can get, like, I'm not sure. I think it's free, but you can get like a sort of tester pack so you can see what badges look like, etc.
Yeah.
They're worth it. Yeah, they make like nice packaging as well. As well as getting badges, you can get like four packs with a little sort of cardboard header and a little plastic bag. So it all looks, you know, it looks professional. And the more professional you look, the...
I'll tell you what I like seeing as well is original art on a table. If you're drawing physical, even if you're drawing digital, print it out, and you've got like some pages from the next issue upcoming, you know, or even like an anthology, you know, some art you've done for an anthology or something like that, leave it there. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's an advert for you. Yeah, and it's something that people can look through. Some people are a little bit socially quiet, aren't they? They turn up the table and they're not, they don't want to be sort of having jokes with you and, you know, having a laugh and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're quite happy to look through stuff, you know, and look through the pages of your comic, you know, and stuff like that, or upcoming artwork or even prints and stuff like that. You know, it's a good thing to have on your table. Keep them there. Keep them at your table, you know.
Because you can normally suss what kind of person has come to your table within the first 5 seconds. Do you know what I mean? As soon as you start your pitch, some people are really responsive. Other people, not so much, you know. But you could say one thing and then they'll perk up.
Yeah. A lot of people are foreign language, you know, a lot of people aren't, English isn't their first language, and they come to your table and you start spouting off at them and they're like, yes.
Yeah.
You know, and you think, oh, you're not English, but you can point to stuff and, you know.
Yeah.
Dean Beattie, I don't know if you know Dean Beattie. He does random.
Known from Pencil Jack. He's
And he has like prints and original art and he has some great stuff at his table. Dean Beattie, he has some great stuff at his table and in fact he sent a message into the Facebook, didn't he, today saying he says he's really crap at creating a buzz, so anything you can come up with. But I mean, I actually think he's really good.
I think he's
and he's engaging and he's got a real certain style to his work that is interesting, you know. Yeah, so he's always a good table to do.
Yeah.
So going back to the creating buzz on the stuff on social media, at least, I'm not sure kind of like the how much of an impact Facebook has nowadays. That seems to be very kind of diluted as a way of getting to your readers.
Right.
I don't know. There's such a wealth of stuff. And now they've introduced like a new algorithm where basically if you're not kind of paying, you're not as many people are seeing what you're doing. And
yeah. I get much more feedback from Twitter than I do from Facebook, although I do a lot on Facebook. You know,
I mean, I used to always post Facebook and Twitter, but Facebook, there's not a lot of pickup, if I'm honest.
Yeah, you post to Facebook and it kind of disappears in the feed sometimes. You think, oh, where did that go? I don't really understand Facebook anymore, you know.
No, I kind of ran a Facebook a little bit, but back in the day, it used to be like your friends and family sharing stories of what they've been up to and photos. Yeah. Now it's just an endless procession of memes.
Yeah.
People posting funny stuff, and rarely there'll be a few bits and bobs in there that are interesting to me.
Yeah,
that's this broad side of my family and friends there. Good thing.
there's a Kickstarter going on at the moment, isn't there? John, I think John Ostrander's done it, and I got an email from him and Jan Durasima, I think her name is.
Yeah,
an old school. She did a lot of Star Wars art and stuff like that. And I got two emails this week, and one said from John Ostrander, and I thought, oh my god. Finally, I get to talk to John Ostrander and email me. And then I realised it's Facebook sending emails out to people. I'd not seen this before. So
really?
Facebook, there's obviously some kind of automated thing where you can apply to Facebook to send an advert out to all of your followers. And I don't know whether they give this person your email or it's generated through Facebook. But I got these emails. They said exactly the same thing, and they were both adverts for the Kickstarter. And it was from John Ostrander, and I thought, oh. And then I realised it was an automated email, and I felt a bit pissed off. Like, who gave you my email address?
I think it must have picked up of what you're looking at on Facebook, your interest and likes, and then generated that email off of that.
It's weird. I'll tell you the thing I don't like as well. Don't pander. I think if you pander to people, you know, oh, you like ponies? Come and see My Little Pony, or you like Adventure Time? You're like this. You know, it's all you get a lot of that these days. Yeah, and I think
I said that about the other week about the lazy comparisons of what your comics like. If someone says, oh, it's like X-Men meets Star Wars, I'd be like,
Well,
I know that's a quick way of kind of getting across to what you're talking about, but...
What a combo.
Yeah, I like to be a bit more creative than that. Yeah, I really do.
Before we finish on the talk and be engaging, I would just say this. when people get to your table, talk with them, not at them.
Yeah, definitely.
I know that that sounds like, you know, I'm a teacher, but it's a very simple thing, you know.
That's the border of the spiel or the conversation, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't know about you.
Tell if someone said it a million times, can't you?
Yeah. And I know, like, people, if someone's had a conversation with me and they're a really nice person, the percentage of me picking up their stuff goes up.
Yes.
Yeah. So, his next point, enjoy it.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. That says it all, doesn't it, really?
I've got to do another convention. I'm not interested in speaking to you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or I'm having such a terrible time at this convention. Yeah. I'm probably going to avoid your table. I've got to be honest with you. I don't want to hear you moaning about how bad the convention's been for you.
Yeah. The same with the whole creation process. If it really is grinding your gears and you just can't bear doing it, just knock it on the head. I mean, or you just take a kind of sabbatical, a bit of a break and...
Yeah.
Assess whether it's something you want to carry on doing or not.
Yeah, totally. I mean, all these conventions, you're traveling all over the shop, but I love being at conventions anyway because, like, I didn't really go to many, you know, there wasn't a vast list that I could go to every week.
Mm.
So when I'm there, I'm like a kid in a candy shop. Yeah. But then I have to remember that I've got to be behind my table. So it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, that should be part of this, shouldn't it? Try and be at your table sometimes.
The thing is, I'm there. I'm sort of always aware of when I'm not on my table. It's almost like I set a stopwatch in my head and it's just ticking down. And it's always the way that when I'm away from my table, people come up to buy stuff. Thankfully, I've got good people with me that, you know...
Your entourage.
My entourage, they keep my rider... Yeah, that's quite a good name, actually. But it's sod's law that you turn your back for 5 seconds, or you eat a sandwich and someone comes up to talk to you.
Got a mouthful of cheese and onion.
How many times do you have that, Dan?
Well, I think the next step is just introducing a catheter into the mix. And just, you're not moving all day.
Yeah, don't drink at all so your internal organs sort of dry up and you just sort of stay there.
Yeah.
That's good.
Staring off into the mid-distance when people talking to you.
Yeah.
Only what? Talk to really pretty girls at your table. I think that helps.
Yeah. Pushing your comic on social media, especially if you've got a web comic, there's great sites like Ink Outbreak and Comic Rocket, which are essentially, they're free. You register your comic, put the details up there, and it will be like a reading list for people with webcomics. So if their comics listed on the site, you add it to your favorites, and essentially it's like a pull list of your webcomics.
Oh, nice.
Right.
They remember where you are, what page you read up to, and notify you when there's new stuff in. So if you've got a webcomic, getting it on one of those sites is definitely the way forward.
Yeah, I think I was on Essential Webcomics for a while. I think I still am. With an old strip that I did, Alag the Barbarian. Mm. And if you go there, they were really good at promotion, really nice people. And they did a little interview with me and the artist to start with, like a Skype interview, like a typed one, you know, like a chat room type thing. And that went up, and that's still there. And that's really nice. And that, a lot of people read that and were, you know, and they do a webcomic of the week. And, you know, and I used to retweet their stuff, you know, a bit of reciprocal, but they were good guys, really nice. Yeah.
Vanguard and the comic I did before Retake were both on, started on Drunk Duck, which is now just called The Duck. That's the same kind of thing. Like, you can look by genre. There's a comment section. So, like, you keep your user ID as you go across them. And you create your favorites list, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, they did features. I think the kind of site's in a bit of limbo at the moment because it kind of got bought out by a company that did nothing with it. Now other people have bought it back and it's kind of just not really going anywhere. But
corporate bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what happened, someone said, oh, we can make money off this, joined up, and then realized, oh, fuck, there's tons of stuff that needs doing. And kind of just washed their hands of it.
Corporate pigs. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so enjoy it, folks.
Yes, right.
After talking about corporate pigs, make sure you enjoy the work you're doing.
And, make sure you get your snout in the trough and everything's good.
Sell out. Adverts on every page.
Yeah.
Half a page, which is a Twix advert, that works. Yes.
And the other half can be the other Twix. Yeah.
I see. DC Comics and Mr. Trick not employing you. Oh, they did it, didn't they, already?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I've got a character drinking a bottle of Dr. Peeper.
If it was panel. Dr. P, I'd be more impressed. Yeah.
Dr. Peeper, what is it, a fizzy drink for sex pests?
Yeah. It looks kind of like Dr. Pepper, but obviously I didn't want to put Dr. Pepper in there.
Yeah. You keep Dr. Pepper every day, saying, look, you owe me money now.
Yeah. And Chris's last point, go back to one before too long. So make sure you keep on making comics, folks.
Yeah, definitely. We've talked loads about that. Yeah, like, bring out a fucking second issue, for God's sake.
Yeah, or another one shot. You know, if you've done a one shot, move on to the next project. Just just keep going. You know, if you've got the
But you don't have to make great big kind of anthologies of, well, kind of hundreds of issues of comic books. You want to kind of do like a four pager for an anthology and then another four pager when it's that's fine.
Keep going. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And I have to say, the most important thing for me is if it's good, that's the biggest selling point for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's good, it shines out. A lot of conventions you walk around, it's the same old traced pictures of Spider-Man, you know. But if you've got a good product, I will see it, you know, because we look at most of the tables, don't we? And if it's good, that creates a buzz. And that should be what creates a buzz, you know. Yeah.
I tweeted, you saw it, Vince, that horrible cover.
Oh, God.
Just before we started recording tonight. And it's essentially, the artist has taken two pornographic pictures, traced them, and put on superhero costumes on two ladies. And there's no part of the anatomy that is left to the imagination. It's like body paint. And it's like, who are you going to get in with this cover? It's kind of, 14-year-old boys, but... Do you know what I mean? There's no story on the cover. There's no kind of, what's happening here then? It's just, there's two ladies with their legs splayed. Well, okay.
I think there is a lot of, what the hell is happening here then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate stuff like that. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you've got to remember that if you're at a convention. People have got that sort of stuff. Really, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I would never put out something there that you would not be happy selling to someone a physical copy of face-to-face. Yeah. If a lady came up to my stand and I had that comic with this cover on, that's by me, and I've got to sell it to her, I would just die. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I think if you like anything on social media, if you were not prepared to say that to someone's face, don't say it on social media or, you know what I mean? So, having the two ladies like that, fucking hell.
Yeah. Either read a comic or whack off to it. Don't do both. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there we go. That's a t-shirt, isn't it? That's a t-shirt.
Yeah. It's a voice of experience. That's what I mean. Right.
Oh, fucking hell.
Barney? Right, so thank you so much, Chris, for this fantastic
email. That's
really
good.
You managed to get a lot of absolute drivel out of us, but I think some helpful hints and tips. And folks, we are not in any way, shape or form experts or pros or anything. No. We are learning just like you as well. So
this is just
with no authority on this at all.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, I think it's very much like anything else. It's common sense. Being proud of the work you do and just having the common sense to promote it the right way and just get it in the hands of the right people. And and just keep making comics, because then we'll get you on here to talk about them. And in 10 years' time, we'll be talking about, I spoke to them just before they made it big and they forgot all about me and what I did for them.
I mean, Chris is a prime example of that, and he's about to proper take off. I mean, if anything we know on The Secret is true, he's gonna explode soon. You know, and it's nice to have had him on because he's a good guy. You know,
yeah.
Don't tell him I said that.
there's a few things we know about previous guests in secret in relation to their forthcoming careers that
we're
can't
proper
talk about.
In the insider now, aren't we? Yeah.
So they've been on this show and then hit big. So
yeah, that's the reason they hit big, let's face it. Because they've been on this show.
So I mentioned it last week. If you've got kind of stuff you're interested in, we had an email sent through yesterday?
We did. I think you sent it yesterday, yeah.
Today, Tony, that to sound absolutely fascinating. I'd love to take a look at what that mentioned.
Yeah. Big shout out to Tom Moore to me. That's who you're talking about, isn't it, Dan?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, he's emailed me a couple of pages from the book while we've been talking, so I'll spread them out to you two guys in a minute. Yeah, right, and saying he's really enjoying the pod, and he's got a new comic which he really wants to show us. I suggested he sent a few pages through, and he's done that. So big shout-out to Tom Mortimer. Thanks for the email, mate. First one in the review account, actually, which is really nice. So, yeah, good guy.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So, yeah, feel free to send in stuff, and we're more than happy to take a look at it and give you thoughts and feedback.
And we also got to give a shout-out to someone on the Facebook who recognized the picture you posted, Tony. Tell us about that.
So we posted a picture of the prog rock goddesses that are Daphne and Celeste.
I'm gonna have to hit up Wikipedia after this show because I have no idea who the fuck.
I've got to be honest with you, I feel sad about that. And I've written his name down, I can't find it. What was his name?
Dino Peppers.
Dino Peters. Is it Peters or Peppers?
I think it's Peppers.
Gets a well-deserved shout-out because he won the competition of the, three people who entered and one who just wanted to be insulting towards me. Yeah.
Speaking of competitions.
Look. Right. Please go to the Nottingham Comic Con, which is the 24th of October. We're all going. We're all pals of theirs. We're going to have a table there. We'll be doing some talks with them, and they are proper good people. And all the convention, the money made goes to charity. And they have very kindly supplied us with a couple of tickets. So a pair of tickets for the day, 24th of October this year. It's a Saturday. And we've asked that we pose a question.
That's right, folks. It's a competition. We're doing a competition. On our fifth show, we've made it big.
This is big time, Atina.
We've actually got a number of prizes. Haven't we?
The show. Sorry, mate.
We've got a number of prizes. We'll do two tickets this week.
Yeah,
and there are more prizes
coming around this. Yeah, they've very quickly donated a couple of things. So the two tickets, it's in Nottingham, and the question we're going to pose: what did Wallace Eats put in her comic for me? Now, if you're a regular listener to the show, listen to me, being large. If you're a regular listener to the show, you will know that answer. So the question is, what did Wallace Eats, the comic creator, put in her comic for me when she handed it to me? So send us the answers through to, what's your email, Vince?
awesomecomicspod@gmail.com.
Yeah, or you can go to our Twitter, which is?
At the Awesome Pod,
or find us on Facebook and answer the question. And if we'll put your names in a hat, and two tickets will be going out to the winner. Don't forget to visit nottinghamcomiccon.co.uk, the site, and you'll see the excellent guests they've got this year, including the aforementioned Christian Wildgoose, the aforementioned Mark Lamming, Duncan Fregado, and a whole load of other people. It's a proper good comic-centric convention that you will enjoy, I guarantee. And if you come along and say hello to us, we'll be there as well.
There you go, folks. Get in touch. Right, shall we? Before we go any further, I'm going to change up the script a little bit. That's the second week you've made that weird. That's more than that. Noise.
It's got to be like the third. Been out three or four times. Come on.
Yeah. I just want to give a shout out to an actual book, a prose book, which is it's going to be available now. It's a horror anthology called The Black Room Manuscripts, which was put together for charity. It's going to an animal charity, so it's going to help them out. Okay. But one of the reasons, it's full of 20 different authors, different horror authors, up and coming authors, and it's well worth checking out. It's set up by my good friends in the Sinister Horror Company, who are Daniel Mark Chant, Duncan Bradshaw, and J.R. Park, three up and coming horror authors. And also, they invited me to do a story for it. So my first ever prose work, actual words without pictures.
Nice one. What a mate.
Is published and will be available now and part of this anthology. So it's all like Nottingham Comic Con, all the proceeds are going to charity. So I definitely recommend you check it out. You can get it on Amazon now, so go ahead, go check it out. And I actually designed the book cover as well, and actually put the stories together, so I've read a lot of them, and they're pretty awesome. So,
is that digital and or print? Or?
Yes, both. Digital and print. So, if you want a nice hard copy for your bookshelf, then you can get it that way. But if you just want an e-book, get in touch. So it's amazing. Yeah, it's so much quality.
Very cool, mate.
Yeah, I know it's not comics, but it's all for a good cause,
right. Yeah.
And it's a quality book. So yeah, Black Room Manuscripts. Look it up on Amazon.
It's small press, cool. I guess.
Yeah, it's self-publishing. Right,
yeah, definitely.
Shall we get?
We've had another question from Brian Vander. Good old Brian. Ah. Hey, buddy. He's from America. That was my American accent. And he wants to know what music, what albums, and what artists do we listen to while we're drawing. Guys,
well, we
touched a little bit on it, haven't we?
We touched a little bit on it when Chris Wild Goose was on. I think it was derailed by your Mannequin 2 comment, which totally threw me. I listen to a lot of movie soundtracks and video game soundtracks when I'm drawing or especially writing. I can't, as I said then, I can't listen to anything that's got words. And there's a lot of stuff online, you know, whether I've downloaded them or you can find them on YouTube. But some of the ones that I'm especially liking at the moment is the soundtrack to Mad Max Fury Road. Have either of you heard this?
I haven't.
I've not seen the film, but not heard the
film.
Soundtrack.
Yeah.
Oh, the film's amazing and the soundtrack's equally amazing. Especially the track Brothers in Arms, which is probably one of my favourite songs of the year, just hands down. When I say songs, it hasn't got any lyrics or anything, but just the tune is just an absolute... It's just amazing. And there's like video game soundtracks like Bulletstorm or like Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. I don't play the games, but the soundtracks are just absolutely amazing. And when you're doing the sort of like blockbuster sort of action sort of stories that I like doing, you know, that sort of stuff really helps. Yeah, and there's people look at people like Two Steps from Hell and Immediate Music. They do a lot of trailer sort of style orchestral pieces, which are quite dramatic and really get you in the zone. Like when you're trying to sort of write and create. So, yeah, I listen to a lot of that sort of stuff. Or I'll just put on Netflix and watch something like Daredevil back to back while I'm drawing. What about you, Dan?
I usually listening to audiobooks. I try and pack in so much into my day. When I'm commuting up to work in the morning, it's about an hour train journey and hour back. I usually draw then and I'm listening to an audiobook. And I've listened to loads over the years, but there's a couple I always go back to, and that's the Stephen King Dark Tower series, because there's a lot of it to listen to, and it's a great story. And the other one is Snow Crash by Neil Stephenson. I don't know if you guys have ever read or listened to that. It's excellent.
I've heard of it, but yeah, not read it.
It's a great book. Music, yeah, kind of like this whack on shuffle and go for it. I mean, the kind of the drawing phase for me is just complete. The switch off and kind of go for it.
Yeah.
I can kind of do it, draw it anywhere.
Yeah.
The writing is a little more, I mentioned it last week, but essentially I'll be walking somewhere with music on, and then the idea will pop in and I either write it down on a notepad or email myself the idea that I can kind of put it all together later.
Yeah, but, I find that as well with the soundtrack. So I'm like, if I'm walking to work, I listen to a great soundtrack. One, I feel epic.
Mm.
And two, it sort of helps me sort of plot the ideas, because, like, you know, you'll hear a certain bit in a movie soundtrack and you imagine an action scene, like in the rhythm of it, and you're like, oh, brilliant. And that's helped me develop characters and, like, you know, new scenes for like the Red Mask and stuff. So
I don't know about you, Vince, but I can have the TV on or a film on or whatever if I'm drawing, but if I'm writing, there cannot be
the same. I can't listen to anything.
Yeah.
Even if I have an idea to write down, you know, something, and I'm listening to music, I'll turn the music off and write it down, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like someone's prodding me in the brain.
Again.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I tried writing once, like, while I had a podcast on the background. Nah, just gave it up. Because it's, you know, I had to switch the podcast off because it's like, I'm not getting anywhere because, like, my mind's in two places.
I'm sure there's two brain that are kind of trying to work that's the same time, and it's just conflicting.
Yeah, sitting it.
And it's all
what podcasts are you guys listening to out of interest? You know, is there any other podcast?
I've started listening to the 11 o'clock comics podcast.
Oh, yeah, love those guys. Yeah,
that's become my main show now that I listen to. Like,
Yeah, wait for it. They're great. Week. They're really, really great show. Yeah. And they've kept humble and they're enthusiastic and they're nice guys and yeah really, really good guys. Yeah. A lot of time for them.
Yeah, a lot of Word Balloon. I listen to Word Balloon a lot. I know you previously mentioned that. That's really insightful for especially some of the talk with some of the professional creators. I used to listen to ComicGeekSpeak.com. I used to listen to them a lot. They're one of the first comic book podcasts that ever came about. So
they've been going for yonks, haven't
they? They've been going for years and years, and they were just so brilliant. You know, I haven't listened to them so much recently because they sort of changed their website. It looks like it's all YouTube videos. I like a nice MP3. Right. I like downloading an MP3 and then just popping it on the MP3 player and listen to it on the go.
I've started listening to a new one. So Games and Graphics. That's worth checking out. I'll stick that up on the show notes.
Yeah. They've had a couple of the Madius guys on recently.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
I believe they have. Yeah.
So Pop Culture Hound, which is now Orbital in Conversation, which is Chris Thompson from Orbital Comics. That's a really good one. Like a sort of adult, you know, conversation with, you know, creators and sometimes just a couple of pals on. And he's very kindly retweeted us a couple of times this week, which is very cool of him. Yeah.
I've got him on my iTunes, or one of the things, at least.
Yeah. And the Orbiting Pod, which is the Orbital, mine and Dan's local comic shop, they've got their own podcast.
Yeah, I've listened to that a few times. That's a good one.
Yeah, and Robin, turns out Robin works opposite me. He's in the building opposite me almost, so I bump into him quite a lot at work. He's a good guy. Yeah.
Where to? Not in the gents.
No, just go dancing. Sometimes around down the roller disco, I see him when I'm down there.
A roller disco. Oh, yeah. Dear God. I wish you had an Instagram. Hashtag glitterballs. Right. Shall we get on to recommendations, chaps?
Can I do a shout out for a mate?
You certainly can.
Lovely, cool. A friend of mine, Johnny T's made, listens to the show. He's a... one of our little comic club pals, and me, he's coming on the trip to New York later this year. He's done his knee in and he's had an operation, so he's listened to the podcast while he's been off, and he's a good lad. So I just thought I'd give him a shout out.
Get well soon.
Yeah, get well soon.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Okay, what do you want to do? Do you want me to start the recommends, dude? Or
Go
for it.
Okay, cool. Pain is really strange.
All right. We only asked you to go first.
Pain is really strange, which is written by Steve Haynes. And is art by Sophie Standing. It's released by Singing Dragon, which is an imprint of the London-based small press publishing company called Jessica Kingsley Press. Has anyone heard of it at all?
That rings a bell.
They're based just off King's Cross. Really interesting company, and they've started a little comics imprint that is like an educational thing about this one is basically about overcoming really bad, you know, and constant pain. And how to do it, and you know, ways to sort of, you know, stop it being so bad. It's basically a medical comic. I mean, there's space in comics for everything, isn't there? And there's space in small press for everything. And I think it treats pain in the same way that understanding comics treated sequential art, if that makes sense. Mm. Yeah. It's done in a sort of narrated way. It's got a central character who wanders through the panels, narrating how to overcome stuff and why this is happening to you and how you can overcome it and stuff like that. And it's a really interestingly drawn book. He uses a lot of red and a lot of grey and really good, and for the right reasons. It's
you're totally right. I mean, yeah, it's great to see books like that. I mean, this isn't my recommendation, but although I do recommend it. Have you ever Danny Abrams, Worry War? Have you ever heard of that book?
I've read it.
It's based upon like her personal blog and stuff that she's turned into like a book, and it's all about anxiety and dealing, you know, her day to day dealings with it. And it's rare that I say that a book is important, but when I read it, I mean, I thankfully don't suffer from anxiety the way some people do, and I really feel for them. But it's brilliant in the way that I think people who suffer from it understand it, and also it helped me get a little more understanding myself. So Worry Warts, we'll have to get Danny on to talk about it, because I think like books like that are important subjects that need to be spoken about.
Yeah.
And you can buy a copy of this one that I'm talking about, Pain is Really Strange. You can go to www.singingdragon.com. Steve Haynes is at stevehaynes.net, and Sophie Standing, the artist, is at sophiestanding.com. Have a look at their stuff. It was introduced to me by Mike Medaglia, who the creator of seasons and numerous other things. He's a great talent, but he works for them.
Okay,
awesome. Cool.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah.
Dan?
Okay. Keeping in with a small press theme, I told you I went to Orbital. I picked up kind of six months worth of Invincible by Image Comics.
Hey!
So I'll be working my way through them. I was kind of gushing about it to Tony before we come on on air, as it were. And yeah, it's brilliant. Just absolutely a crackerjack book. Kind of it dares to do what some of the bigger comic titles wouldn't do with their superhero characters.
And it's been going for a long time as well, hasn't it? And it's
kept
the... There's a nice little stack of trades here if you want to get into it, isn't there? There really is.
Yeah. I was talking with Brian Vander on Twitter.
He
just started, and I said it's one of the series that does get better and better as it goes along. It's this mind-boggling kind of.
And also, is it Ryan Ottley? Is it Ryan Ottley?
Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
And I know he's one of your heroes, Dan.
He starts up. It's not. He doesn't start it off the series. There was another artist.
Oh really?
I feel really bad. Hold on, let me look on my bookshelf, and I'll be able to. Shit, I can't see it.
You heard it here first, folks.
Is that it? I think.
What was it?
Might be Corey Walker. I might be
wrong
on that, but he's gone on to do great stuff himself. Yeah. He's another excellent artist.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
He's one of the ones to follow on Tumblr and to see this stream of just amazing design work that he's done on old kind of older Marvel and DC characters.
Yeah.
Well worth checking out.
Oh, awesome. Cool. Check out Invincible.
Vincent?
Vincent, the
lovely
Vincent.
Is it another book called Vincent something? Is it Vincent goes to the toilet or Vincent's feeling a bit melancholy? Is it something like that? Or...
Oh, Vincent versus Tony Esmond. it's less a book, more of a prophecy. Right. my
nicely done, sir. Yeah.
Hi, thank you, sir. My recommendation for this week is another webcomic called 3 Minute Max, which I discovered because of some bloke called Dan Butcher.
Hey,
don't know who he is. it's a webcomic about a guy named Max Reaper, who's a former Army Ranger, and he has the rare ability to die for up to 3 minutes at a time and then bring himself back to life. And that makes him sort of uniquely suited for a place called the Strike Gate, as like a secret, as always, highly experimental teleportation device that kills whatever it transports, unless they are already dead. You never know that I had this written in front of me right now, so I knew. So he gets put into like a suit and he goes on these missions to save people, but he only has 3 minutes to save the day before he's yanked back to the Strike Gate before his death becomes permanent. So but the added sort of bonus is the more time he spends dead, the things get weirder as it goes on. And the way I would describe it, it's almost like a classic sort of sci-fi TV show from the sort of 80s, sort of 90s. But it's got a great modern style, and like the action's like super explosive. And I mean explosive. It's got some of the most best-looking explosions that I've seen like in a comic, because the artwork is beautiful. It's written by Bob Forward, and the art is by Max Forward. Now, did you say they're
father and son team. Yeah. Bob writes the comic and then Max illustrates it. They're real good guys.
Yeah, it's a great pairing as well. The story's like, they've got 5 episodes currently. And they even call them episodes, so it's almost got that TV sort of feel there. But, you know, essentially,
it's really got that episodic feeling to it.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, and the story just develops. There's more going on. Like, it's quite grown up as well. You know, there's full-on sort of like gun-toting sort of action, and like they don't hold back on some of like the more violent scenes. But it's well worth checking out. You know, the story's great. I've got up to, I think, halfway through. No, I think I've just finished chapter 3. So I've got another 2 more that I'm just going to go and devour, because it just looks great. You can check it all out at www.3mm-crisisstrike.com. So obviously I'll put the link in like the show notes, etc. But it's well worth checking out, because it's like a full on action, fist pumping action story that's got a little more to it than it at first seems. So yeah, well worth checking out.
Great concept as well. Really interesting concept. Yeah.
So he's got an emblem on his chest that basically changes as it gets closer to the 3 minutes.
Yeah. And there's just like these little visual touches as well. Like just before he goes into the gate, you see his pupils sort of like dilate. It's just
okay.
Yeah, there's a level of detail in it that's really nice. So yeah, thank you, Dan, for getting me onto that. And
I must have a look at that. Yeah,
I give a shout out to Bob. He's puts together a load of kind of special effects packs for artists on Gumroad. I'll give you the link for that so you can put it in the show notes. But he's allowed me access to it, the whole thing. And there's smoke effects, explosions, gunshot stuff. It's just a bible for kind of if you're doing a kind of a blockbuster action comic to use these kind of resources to pep it up. It's amazing.
Oh, wow. It's good. Yeah, really good.
Yeah. Resources are always good when it comes to making comics, and we hope you folks get a lot of them from this show.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
In amongst all the useless waffle. Right, have we got any more for any more gents, or is it time to...
There's a couple of events coming up.
Yeah.
Still running is the Orbital Comics Mark Buckingham Fables exhibition. Which is ongoing in there. If anyone's not been there, go to Orbital Comics. It's at 8 Great Newport Street in London, near Leicester Square Tube. You go in and go to the back end, go to the left. There's a little exhibition area, which always has something cool on. And at the moment, it's a sort of Fables exhibition, which is well worth a trip. I was at it just last week. The 12th of August, Gosh Comics have a regular sort of discussion night run by Steve Walsh, who it turns out is an old boy at my school. I found out this week. And this week it's two Avery Hill books, who you know I'm a big supporter of, The End of Summer and A Quiet Disaster.
Nice.
And they're both really good. And Gosh Comics is 1 Berwick Street, Soho. Don't hang about outside because it's a bit dodgy, but the shop is...
Tony, I have you. He'll jump on you.
Yeah, we'll get you.
Like a puma.
That shop is just great. I mean, you look at it and it's just like great big windows. You can see all the comics in the windows. They do illustrations sometimes in the windows. It's just...
They do, yeah. Yeah.
I haven't been to that one yet, so...
Yeah, it's right at the end of Pawn Alley. Basically, you go through Pawn Alley and go at the end. And then you're presented with a comic shop, and it's brilliant. You know, it's, it's a really interesting place. And he runs these semi-regularly, and they're just, he interviews people. And I think they go up as podcasts occasionally as well, which make a little change. But, yeah, it's good to sort of mix and socialise, and there's always creators there to chat to. Yeah, awesome. It's very good.
Brilliant.
Awesome. Well, folks, we hope you enjoyed this guestless episode. As you can tell, we've always got plenty to talk about, whether or not we've got another person in the room or not. As always, get in touch with us with stuff that you like, stuff that you want us to talk about. Did we get your name wrong, like Ian Burns? or did we get where you came from wrong? Then let us know. There are several ways to do it. You can email us, awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. You can send any of your issues and stuff to tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. I got that right, didn't I, dude? That was...
Yeah, that's right, mate.
Yeah, that's cool. Right.
On the Twitter, you can follow us, let us know, throw us abuse, as always, @theawesomepod. Get on the Facebook, because we like to be a bit interactive there, with people that just seem to throw us abuse.
I even quite like the abuse, I've got to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah.
No, don't go overboard, but I quite like it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Make it creative, people. So you can like us on facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. And if you got this from someone else, or if you got it from iTunes or whatever, you can listen to the podcast, all the episodes, at awesomecomics.podbean.com. And we're also on iTunes now, so it should be refreshing on iTunes. So if you've listened to us on iTunes, give us a review and tell us what you think, because we want to get those reviews in.
5 stars.
Yeah, please do. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, these two are needy divas, so they need your support. As for where you can catch us individually, Dan, where can they find you on Twitter?
At Vanguard Comic.
Tony?
If I'm not looking through a hole in the toilet wall, and you can find me on Twitter at Ezoyes, which is Ezohyez.
I don't know how to follow that. you can catch me on Twitter at Jester Diablo. And
we need to speak about that name. That's so not you.
How do you mean?
Jester Diablo.
There's a story.
You're an 18th century, you know, buccaneer.
No. Well, yes, in some ways I am. There's a story behind that name. But that will be
too sexy for the show.
That will be for another time. That's a five pints and maybe a shot story.
Oh, okay. Who's that at the window when I'm in my underwear? It is I, Jester Diablo. Is it one of those sort of stories?
Oh, Jesus Christ, you got it wrong. Underwear, indeed. Anyway, as always, folks, on that bombshell, thank you for joining us. Have a great week. And next week, we're going to have a guest again. So another person that we can drive crazy with our level of insanity. So have a great week. And from Tony, Dan, and myself, goodbye and stay awesome.
See you later.
Bye.
See ya.